Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing from Psalter 386, the stanzas 1, 3, and 7. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. Psalter 386, the stanzas 1, 3 and 7.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the first letter from Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, starting at verse 35 through the end. We mentioned to you 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 35. But before we'll read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord thus far.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's blessing and presence among us tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may not be evil in thy sight as we open our sinful lips unto thee, a holy and just God. Thou who wilt by no means clear the guilty, and we as a congregation, as we pray unto thee tonight, we are guilty. And Lord, thou art the creator and upholder of all things, and thou hast created us in thy image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness. And after creation, thou could look upon all creation, also man, the crown jewel of creation, and thou could say, behold, it is very good. There was a reflection of thy image, no sin. And thou hast planted our covenant head, Adam. Thou hast planted for him a garden, and thou hast placed him in that garden. And thou hast made a covenant with him, the covenant of works. And thou hast said that the day thou eatest of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And Lord, we have sinned against thee. We've rebelled against thee. And we have fallen. We are born spiritually dead. And we read now in thy word the testimony of thou looking upon earth and also us tonight, that there is none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after thee. We are born spiritually dead, separated from thee. And we are only worthy of physical death and of eternal death. And what a wonder. Then we heard from thy word tonight of victory, a victory through thy Son, that he has come and that he has conquered Satan, that he has satisfied for sin, he has satisfied the justice of God, and he has conquered the grave. And now the grave for thy dear people is only a resting place, for thou wilt return again, and then they will all rise again to be forever with thee. Lord, may we stand in awe of how great thou art, of how holy thou art, and just and righteous, but also how merciful and gracious to unworthy sinners as we are. It would have been just if thou would have left us all in our misery, and that we would all experience only eternal condemnation because of all our sin and who we are and remain to be before thee. But Lord, thou hast thought of way in eternity, and thou hast proclaimed it in time through thy word, that there is a way of salvation. Thou hast a plan of redemption for hell-worthy sinners. And it's in thee, in a triune God, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word, the precious gospel, may be richly blessed here in Cortland, that sinners would be born again and drawn unto thee. And Lord, that many may begin to cry out, Lord, draw me, and we will run after thee, and that thou would draw sinners with the cords of love unto thyself. Remember those poor and needy sinners who cannot help themselves, who know what they need, but it's absolute impossible, who stand so afar off. O Lord, wilt thou draw them near unto thyself? Wilt thou reveal unto poor and needy sinners that way of salvation in thee through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit? O may that precious Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, become so necessary. May he become so suitable and precious for poor and needy sinners, that he may be truly worshipped, adored, that there may be faith in him for the glory of thy name. Lord, then work mightily with thy word and spirit, that dead ones may be made alive, and those who have been made alive. O Lord, we're so proud. We will cling to everything instead of run unto that only place of safety and refuge, of cleansing, and to be covered with righteousness and to be washed in blood. O Lord, wilt thou cause then a people, poor and needy sinners, to become not only lost in self, but that they see they must be righteous, and that they're unrighteous, and that all their righteousnesses are only filthy rags, too short to cover in the sight of thee. But wilt thou reveal him whom we may read in thy word as the Lord our righteousness? O may that name above all names become that precious name to hear and to adore, that faith may be given. Lord, work mightily then. Faith is a gift of thee. We can only bring forth unbelief, and it's our guilt. It's our sin, and we plead and beg. Remember those who are living in unbelief. Renew them, teach them, draw them, and that they may have that faith to believe who they are, who thou art, but also that way of salvation through thy Son. Lord, remember the whole congregation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, may it have been that hearts may have been prepared like the good soil to receive the seed, and that that seed may land in well-prepared soil, and that it may bring forth fruit of true repentance and faith. Lord, unto whom else can we go with all the cares and the needs of our bodies, but also especially for our never-dying souls? Lord, look upon us in mercy. Look upon us through thy dear Son. Come among us tonight, Lord, and work mightily, blow powerfully, irresistibly, by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Stir up the hearts of thy dear people, also as they will hear of the comfort of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. O, wilt thou give them a hunger and a thirst for that coming? May they be an Advent people, not only for the first coming of the precious Savior, but also for his second coming. Oh, that thy people may be living as pilgrims in the world, but not of the world, that they may hate sin more and love righteousness, that there may be fruits and more fruits for the honor and for the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. Lord, we beg and ask thee, remember those who had an opportunity to gather with us in thy house today, but had no desire. Remember them in thy mercy. But remember also those who long to come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto them and could not for various reasons. Lord, visit them where they are. Remember prodigal sons and daughters, those who have a baptized forehead and are living in the world according to their flesh, far from thee, living in dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, bring them back, awaken them, draw them, teach them, convert them, Lord. Remember parents who mourn and who are filled with grief as they see their children living in the world, maybe even in church, but they're only living in the world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give that in our homes thy word may be opened and that thou would bless it. We pray and beg thee, remember those in Bethany Care Home. Care for them, the young can die, but the old must die. Wilt thou prepare them for a never-ending eternity? Richly bless thy word and remember those who must go home alone because their wife or their husband is in Bethany care home. Care for them, help them, Lord, and comfort them, visit them. Lord, we lay before thee the education of our children, that they may be prepared to be citizens to live in this world. But Lord, especially that they may be Timothys, that there may be Josephs, that there may be those with the tender fear of the Lord, by thy grace, renew hearts, Lord. Bless thy word in our homes, but also in the school. May we lay before thee all the teachers, the staff, the principals, vice principals, all those who work at Rehoboth Christian School, the board. Oh, give wisdom, give the leading and the guiding of thy Holy Spirit, and provide in thy mercy God-fearing teachers. Lord, we ask that thou would remember that family that we have sponsored and are waiting to come to Canada, if it is in thy will. Lord, wilt thou open the way that they may come soon, that they may be under the means of grace here, and that it may be a blessing for them. Lord, remember the persecuted church, those who suffer for thy name's sake. Uphold them, Lord. And may we see the great privilege we have, that we may freely come in thy house without fear, but may it not testify against us. Lord, remember thy beloved, the Jewish nation. Lord, we have read and seen something of their life in Israel. Lord, richly bless thy word, powerfully by the Holy Spirit, and that they may read thy precious word and the New Testament that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Oh, take away that veil from their eyes and work mightily, and that many would come to know him as that only Savior, that Savior of sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee then, look upon us in mercy in this evening. May we beg thee that thou would give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen. Give much prayer. Gather with us, Lord. We beg thee, thou who art the Lord of the harvest, that thou would also thrust out labors into thy vineyard. Lord, call men, men with thy grace, open the way, and that we may rejoice in thy works. Lord, remember the students in the theological school, help them, teach them. Remember the instructors, uphold them also with the great responsibility. And may we beg thee and ask thee also that thou would provide a church worker for Bolivia, but also a church worker for Peru. Lord, provide in thy mercy. Thou knowest the needs. Thou knowest the cares. Have mercy, Lord. Then send out men, call, and open the way. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We deserve nothing because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities and transgressions. But we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for the name of thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Come, take away all the distractions, all the hindrances, and work mightily. Bless thy word to the conversion of sinners and to the edification of thy dear people. We beg and pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 442, stanzas 1 and 2, 4 and 5. Our gracious God has laid his firm foundation on Zion's mount, the courts of his delight. Her gates of splendor bathe in heavenly light. He loves far more than Jacob's habitations. Psalter 442, stanzas 1 and 2, 4 and 5. And the collections for this evening is for the church and for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, tonight we come to the end, the last two articles of the Confession of Faith. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. These are future eternal blessings for all the living members, all those true believers in Jesus Christ, for all God's children. God is eternal, and therefore he will eternally reward his beloved people upon the merits of Jesus Christ. But God is eternal, and he will also eternally punish all unbelievers. Unbelievers, you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, we will hear of a resurrection of the body, of a blessing for God's people, but you will also rise. You will also stand before the throne of Jesus Christ. But how unspeakable different it will be for you. For you, you will not inherit eternal life. For you, you will be eternally cast away into hell, lost forever, forever under the wrath of God, which will never ever change, never ever any hope of ever being able to escape, forever lost. Who can describe what this will be like? No one. But who can describe also the opposite of that splendor and glory and majesty for God's people? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." It's undescribable, Paul said. And yet, in the word of God, through his precious inspired word, we hear of things, he has written things about what that future will be, of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And that is summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 22, question and answer 57 and 58. And you can find it if you'd like to read along in the back of your Psalter, I believe, on page 51. Lord's Day 22, question and answer 57 and 58. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. And so with the Lord's help, we have the following theme, which we will meditate with three thoughts, three comforts. So the Christian's comfort, did you hear it? It's the Christian's comfort, an eternal future with Christ. That's the Christian's comfort, an eternal future with Christ. Three comforts. The first comfort, with Christ at death. Because in the first, in 57, we read, immediately taken up. So, with Christ at death. The second comfort, with Christ and like Christ at his return. The second comfort, with Christ and like Christ at his return. And the third comfort, with Christ in eternal joy. And then, especially, question and answer 58. So the first two from question and answer 57, and the last thought from 58. Dear children of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, tonight we may be given to hear through the word of God of what God promises unto his beloved people, the future. And may you hear it. And by hearing, faith may be worked in your heart. And by believing, you may see it with the eye of faith of what the Lord promised to give to his church, and that your heart would be stirred up for these blessings. And that you may begin to law, become a pilgrim in this life. How does God cause his children to persevere in this life? Well, there's many ways, as we read in the Canons of Dort in the fifth article. But one of the ways, one of them, to persevere in the faith is by means of proclaiming unto them the promise of the future. I think of Moses as an example. Moses was living in Egypt, and he forsook the world. He forsook Egypt. By looking to what? By looking to the future promise, the recompense of the reward, which we read of Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 26. Listen, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses had an eye of faith to look to the future. He didn't look at all that glitter and the pleasures of this world. He looked to something much greater. And so, dear children of God, dear sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, may you also be encouraged, and that your heart may be stirred up more and more to forsake this world, to be a pilgrim, to fight the good fight of faith, to mortify, to crucify the flesh, and to live close to that good shepherd, looking to the future. There's a future coming, church of God, and you who are yet dead in sins and trust, you may listen along. Yes, you may listen along. Listen to what you miss. Listen to those great blessings. And may you also be pricked in the heart and hear what you miss, and that you become lost, and that you become a beggar before the great and mighty God, and beg him. Beg him to renew you, and to make you a citizen, to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, repent and believe the gospel. And so we come to our first thought, the first comfort, with Christ at death. Dear congregation, we read in the answer to question 57, a very marvelous statement. Let's read it again. That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. So this is informing us immediately at death, when the believer dies, when those poor needy sinners who have no hope in self, who are looking to that only Savior, trusting in him for everything, immediately when they die, they are taken to a place, a very precious place, a place of comfort, into the presence of Jesus Christ, their head, the head of the church. Notice it doesn't say immediately taken into heaven. Yes, they are taken into heaven. They are taken into heaven. But it specifically says, our forefathers wrote that they're immediately taken up into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Into the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Because at death, the believer not only, it doesn't only mean that he dies, But it only doesn't only mean he enters into heaven, but he enters into a place, into the presence of someone, of whom? Into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a comfort. What a great comfort at the moment of death. The soul immediately goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven, what is heaven? Heaven is in the presence of God, in the presence of their Savior, in the presence of the Redeemer, in the presence of the good and great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because heaven without Christ is not a heaven. It's not heaven, but heaven is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul expressed in Philippians 1 verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be part and to be with Christ, which is far better." Do you hear what Paul said? To be with Christ, which is far better. And he also wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Is that your desire? Is that a comfort for you? Dear sheep of the good shepherd, your death is not an end. It's not an end. We don't die like animals. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of an eternal comfort. It's a beginning of an eternal presence with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a comfort. Who can explain this? This is a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember, children, on the cross, beside him was two men, two criminals. And remember that one, he was born again, and he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He confessed his sin. He confessed that he was worthy to die. And he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." How did the Lord Jesus answer him? What did he say? What do we read in Luke 23, verse 43? "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What does this teach us? What's the lesson? What's the comfort? The comfort is immediately at death, at the death of a recipient of grace, their soul immediately is taken up into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to John chapter 17. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, John 17, that high priestly prayer. And he prays in that prayer a petition, a desire, a petition to his Father. John 17, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So you hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying. He's petitioning his Father that his beloved people, his sheep, would be with him in glory. Do you hear it? Church of God, sheep of the good shepherd, you who are born again, who repent, and who have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, your good shepherd prays that you would be taken out of this world and that you would be able to be with him to behold his glory immediately at your death. Have you ever sat by the deathbed of someone? Have you ever sat at the deathbed of someone whom you may believe is a child of God? I sat at the deathbed of my father, and slowly, day after day, slowly his life ebbed away. And then there came a moment. You saw his chest give one more heave. And then silence. No more movement. My sister was a nurse and she reached over. No more pulse. He's gone. And I believe, because of God's grace, that he, as we read here, immediately with his soul went into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said something to me a few years before, he said, speak well of the king. And now, immediately, he was with the king. He could see the king. He could be with the king who's fairer than all the children of men, the beautiful king. What a comfort. Immediately at death, poor, needy sinners, you who have faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be immediately taken up into the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you relate? Can you understand? Do you have the same desire as Paul, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ? No, not to just be in the grave, but to be with Christ, with your soul, which is far better. Far better than living in this world with this body of death, with all the sin, all the temptations, all the trials, all the wickedness, sinning and sinning and sinning. Far better to be free, to be immediately taken up. What a comfort. Do you long for this comfort? Are you a living pilgrim? Or are your tent pegs stuck deep in this earth, trying to still suck everything out of this world? It will never give you comfort, my friend. But Church of God, are you a pilgrim? Are you letting go? Letting go of things and looking, focusing on that recompense of the reward. There's a future. There's a blessed future with Christ. Do you know of times, my friend, in your life, when you desire with your heart to be delivered, to be with the Redeemer, that you can lay this body of death down, and that you can be with him? No more need to cry, draw me. No more distance. No be able to see him, to be with him forever. Those who come to the Lord's Supper, they confess, they know him. That's the confession. I'm in the midst of death, but I seek everything in him. And those who die, those true believers, when they die, they will meet him. They will not meet an unknown Savior. They will meet someone they know. Someone whom he made a relationship with them. He sought them. He found them. He renewed them. He drew them unto himself. They will meet him immediately at death with their soul. They will immediately go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. By now they see him through the word, in the preaching or the reading, through the gospel, maybe at the table or at home, in a closet, in your car, parked on the side of the road. You just need to read the word of God and you see him. But then when you die, you will meet him. When a believer dies, what a comfort, congregation. Do you hear? Do you hear what you miss? Do you hear what there is for you, poor, needy sinners, recipients of grace, immediately into the presence of God? We were not created to die. No, we were not. Death entered this world because of sin, because of our sin. We were created to live. Sin ruined it. Sin corrupted everything. Sin brought death into this world. The Lord said, the day thou eatest of thereof shalt surely die. We ate, and we know of that threefold death. Spiritual death. We're deserving of physical death and eternal death. And yet that very same God that we offended to his heart with our sin, with our rebellion, he sent his son. He sent his dear son to suffer, to die, to conquer Satan, to pay the price that no sinner can pay, but also to conquer the grave. That the grave is only a resting place for the body. On the merits of Jesus Christ, there is the gift of eternal life for absolute unworthy sinners. For sinners who are, by God's grace, born again. Who do repent, begin to repent, and continue to repent, and begin to trust him with the smallest faith of a mustard seed. That look to him, long for him. In them there is complete salvation. Immediately at death into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's our guilt. And the Lord would have been right if he's put a period. Nothing more. But no, we hear of his grace. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Dear sheep, at the moment. Think of it. There's a glorious future. There's a blessed future promised to you of that one who worked in you, renewed you. There is a blessing. Immediately at death, you'll be brought into his presence. You're impure. You're full of sin. But he will wash you in that blessed blood of the Lamb, and he will clothe you. He will clothe you with his righteousness. At death, what will take place, children? What will happen when you die? Open your Bible to Hebrews 9, verse 27. There is no such thing as purgatory, as the Roman Catholic teach, that there's a time of waiting where their soul will be, or in soul's rest, or in soul's sleep. No. At the moment of your death, what will take place? You will appear before the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, and you will be judged. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So children, teenagers, older ones, immediately when we die, our soul will go to stand before the Almighty, all-knowing, infinitely holy and just God who knows every single sin, and we will be judged. And then there will be the immediate translation of your soul to two places. No, not three or four. Two places. What are those places, children, older ones? You will either be sent to hell, or you will be received up into glory, into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a comfort for the church of God, for true believers at their death, immediately into the presence of God. And so, church of God, think of your death. Think of your death, that when you die, you will be delivered, and you will enter into the presence of your good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, think of your death also. And think that you will stand there, and you will be judged, and you will be sent to eternal wrath, unless, before you die, a radical change takes place by God's grace. You're born again, and you begin to repent and have faith in that only Savior by God's grace. David, a child of God, and he knew that comfort in life and in death. And he wrote in that well-known psalm, Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So this is the first comfort. What is it, children? That at death, for the sheep of the good shepherd, for those true believers, for the children of God, immediately at their death, their soul will be taken into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about their bodies? Their bodies are put in the grave, and their bodies return to dust. So we go to our second thought, the second comfort, with Christ and like Christ at his return. Jesus Christ will return, and he will come on that throne with all those angels. A most glorious day, a great day, a day of salvation. And a day of also where all will be standing before his throne. You will stand there. I will stand there. No exceptions. The whole world will be standing before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone. And all those who have died will be made alive. And all those who are yet living will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Do you ever think of this day? Do you ever think of this day? It's good to think of the day of your death. It's good to think of the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will that day be for you? My friend, if you are yet living dead in sins and trespasses, if you are living still as an enemy, no love for the Lord Jesus Christ, no faith in him at all, then that day you will tremble. You will tremble before him. But that day for all the sheep, what a difference that will be. For the unbelievers, it will be a day of eternal damnation. And for all the believers, it will be a day of eternal salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5, verse 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all they that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, unto eternal life." And now listen, the opposite. "And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." May I ask you, what's the greatest evil? Think for a moment. Do you have something in your mind? What's the greatest evil? What is it? You know what the greatest evil is? It's to hear the gospel. To hear the sincere gospel of the Lord, of him proclaiming life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest evil is unbelief. Unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the reason for damnation. Unbelief. It's the greatest sin of all sins. Damnation. But the contrary. Resurrection of the body. Life, eternal life, everlasting life. This day will be a comfort, an eternal comfort for the children of God, for all the believers, for all the sheep of the Good Shepherd. God will beautify them with salvation. Did you hear it? God will clothe them, beautify them with salvation, as we read in the Psalms. That's a beloved people. And they will be clothed with eternal salvation through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. God's children will not only be in his presence with their souls, but they will also be in his presence with their bodies. When they rise again, their soul will enter their body. And when Christ returns, that will take place. The redemptive plan of God. The redemptive plan of God is that his people will be forever with him, with body and soul in his presence. Not only with their soul. It's not complete, that redemptive plan. It's going to be complete. He will fulfill. He will bring all his sheep with body and soul into his presence. And they will forever be in his presence, glorifying him. And they will forever be in his presence, beholding his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. This is a future, not only at their death, his presence, but at his return. They will rise again with body and soul in the presence of God. May I ask you a question? Are you born again? Do you have the grace of repentance and faith? Do you? Do you know Jesus Christ? No, not just in your head. Do you know him in your heart? Is the relation made by him, and because of him, his love for you, you love him? Do you know of needing him? Of needing him for everything, esteemed and higher than anything else and everything else. And without him, you cannot live. And that you need him. Give me Jesus or I die. Is that your heart? Is that your life? Are you like the Shunammite woman, a picture of a recipient of grace? Draw me. I need him. I love him. I need him. The day of the death for these, their soul will enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he returns, their body and soul, they will forever be in eternal life. Congregation, God created us with a soul and a body. To bear the image of God. We bear the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. He created us a soul to have communion with God. And he created us a body to serve the Lord. And we will be all those who are his dear children. We will be forever with him, with body and soul, to eternally worship him and to eternally serve him. The fall in paradise ruined life. It ruined us completely. But God's redemptive plan through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be completely restored. completely restored. We're his people. They will not be living in their earthly paradise. They will live with their body and soul in a heavenly paradise in the glory, in the splendor, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, in the presence of all the holy angels and the saints, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a future. What a future that God has prepared through the merits of his Son, the blood of his dear Son, for his bride, for his church. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, if you're alive still, you'll be changed in an instant. And if you have died, you'll be raised again in a moment. Both the living believers and those who have died will raise again. And they will be changed in an instant. To what? How? Incorruptible, like the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, with an incorruptible body, verse 20 and 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So they'll be raised again incorruptible. The Lord Jesus Christ has an incorruptible, glorious body. Child of God, sheep of the good shepherd, recipient of grace, poor and needy sinners, you'll be raised again and you will be changed into an incorruptible body. This is your future and you will receive eternal life. You will receive eternal life with God, with the triune God in body and in soul. This is the longing of God the Father for his church. And he gave his Son to fulfill this redemptive plan, because without him, without his righteousness, and without his blood, there would be no salvation. But through him, there is and there will be. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself longs for this day. He prays for it, as we hear in that high priestly prayer in John 17. And the Holy Spirit that is in you, Church of God, will prepare you and will bring you into glory. Do you look for this day? Are you a pilgrim? Do you long to be delivered? Do you long to be in the presence? Now, at little times, shorter times, longer times, you may have a little taste of his presence, and what a blessing. But then to enter into his eternal presence, to be ever with him, with body and with soul. What a great day. What a blessing. The resurrection of the dead. Then they will enter into eternal glory. Some say that about 20 billion people have lived on this earth unto this day. And they will all be raised. And how many more billions will live? We do not know. But what an innumerable multitude. What a mass of people. And God knows every single one. And he knows you also, poor needy sinner. He knows. He knows his sheep. And when they rise again, they will be brought into that eternal presence with God, with body and with soul. And your body may be burnt with fire. Your body may be buried in a mass grave. Or you may drown into the depths of the sea or other ways. But God will raise all people, all his children. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. And listen to his promise. John 6 verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Congregation, we will all rise. But what a difference. Our bodies will rise, and our souls will enter into our bodies. What a difference that will be. What an unspeakable difference. The sheep on the right, and the goats on the left, and those goats will be sent away. Eternal wrath under the wrath of God, forever, forever lost. But for the sheep, because of Christ, because of the triune God, they will enter into glory. And now they may have a little taste of what is coming. A taste of a little communion with the Lord. Have you ever tasted something of that? To taste something of that, and then to think to enter into uninterrupted, full communion with God, with body and soul. And Job, a dear child of God, he believed it, and he looked for it, and he had a longing for it. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I say it in my own words, that my body will go to dust, that worms will eat it, nothing left. And yet, I will rise again. And what did he say? Yet in my flesh I see God. I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another. He will see his Redeemer, not only being with him with the soul, but he will see him with his body, with his eye. Congregation, you will forever be you. You will forever be you. You will forever be in eternal bliss, or you will forever be in eternal wrath. What a difference. But what a comfort for the church of God at death into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he returns and the resurrection of the body, then they will be with him with body and soul. But there's something more. Something more. What do we read in that answer? Made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Why did they write that? Why did they write it in the answer? Made like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Because of what is written in the Bible. For example, what is written in 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear. And now listen. Listen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The second comfort in this answer, the comfort to be with Christ and to be like Christ. Is that a comfort? That's an unspeakable comfort. Why? How will they be like him? Well, they have an incorruptible body. They will have an immortal body. But more, they will be made like Christ. What does that mean? They will be pure and holy as Christ. They will have no more sinful thoughts, no more sinful affections, no more sinful desires, no more sinful will. They'll be as pure and as holy as Christ. What a comfort to be with Christ and to be like Christ. No more sin, no more flesh, no more unbelief, no more grieving that good God and Father in heaven. No more grieving this Lord Jesus Christ. No more grieving the Holy Spirit with sin and unbelief. But to be able to serve him. No more distance. No more distance. No more need to cry, draw me. Because they will be in his presence forever and ever. Congregation, Christ will return. And all will rise again. And those that are living will be changed in an instant. And all his children will enter into his presence with soul and with body. What a glorious future for absolute, unworthy, wretched sinners that only deserve to be eternally cast into hell. But it's by him and through him, and it will be eternally to him. All the glory to him, and they will be like Christ. Think about that. Meditate upon this week, Church of God, you who are recipients of grace, to be made like Christ. That's the future. And we read in Romans 8, to be conformed. He called them, he predestinated, he called them, he justified them and glorified them, and he called them to be conformed to the image of Christ. And now, on this great day, they will be completely conformed. They will be like Christ. What a future. What a future. A future of salvation. And the poet wrote in Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. They will behold his face in righteousness. With their eye, they will see him. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's the future for you, recipients of grace. Let's sing about it. Psalm 32, stanzas 3 and 4. Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. O thou that ever saveth those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy full and free. 32, stanzas 3 and 4. Congregation, we sang from that psalm, and you sang it, and it sounded beautiful. But did you sing it? Did you sing it with your heart? Did you sing it with a longing? Did you sing it with an eye looking to that future, to be able to be delivered out of this life, and to be able to see Him, to behold His face and righteousness, no more through a glass darkly, but to be able to see Him as He is, and to have that shepherd looking upon you, and your eyes can look into His eyes. Those eyes that looked upon Peter, and Peter looked upon him, and it broke his heart. That precious Savior to be with him. The Christian's comfort, an eternal future with Christ immediately at death, at His return with body and soul, and the third comfort, with Christ forever in eternal joy. Why do we use the word eternal joy? Why do we read about joy, eternal joy? Well, how did the Lord Jesus Christ himself describe heaven? In a parable, what did he say in Matthew 25, verse 21? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We like joy, right? We want joy. We want joy in our birthday. We want joy in a wedding day. We want joy every day. We want joy. But there's a joy that no birthday, no wedding on this earth can ever give you. There's joy that you can taste in your heart, in your soul, by faith in that only Savior, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, by the application of the Holy Spirit, and to taste a little something of the joy that is in God for wretches. But entering into heaven will be deep, profound, eternal, uninterrupted joy. Joy. Everlasting life begins now. It begins in this life. And if there is no beginning in this life, there will be no eternal life in heaven. It will only continue of death and eternal death. And so we read of eternal joy. This begins in the moment. Eternal life begins in the moment of regeneration, when they're translated by the power of God from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of their Son. Eternal life begins. But what do they learn? Eternal joy immediately? No. They learn grief and sorrow because of sin. And they do learn in time by the leading and the teaching by the Holy Spirit of joy, of true joy, deep joy, profound joy in that only Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life, what is it? Spiritual life is fellowship with God, communion with God, communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve lived in communion with God in paradise, but they sinned. That communion was broken. And God, through his redemptive plan, through his grace, repairs what man has broken. And in this life, his children have little times, longer or shorter, times of joy, by the application of the gospel in their hearts, by the power of the Holy Spirit. They have times of sweet communion, sitting in church, listening to the word of God, the application to be able to believe, to look outside of themselves upon him, that beloved one, that they love, that their soul loves, that there is affection in their heart for. There's times of joy and communion, peace, but only little times compared to what's coming. Heaven is uninterrupted joy, eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No more interruptions by sin and unbelief. No, and there is eternal joy. Why? Because of them? Not at all. It all flows out of the heart of the Almighty God, of the Father, of his eternal love, and out of the love of his dear Son, and it's applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. May I ask you, have you had a little taste of his love? Have you in this life? Be honest. Have you tasted just a little something of his love? Through the gospel, or maybe sitting at that table, that you could sit under his wings, and his banner over you is love? Did that not fill your heart with so much joy, so much peace? You didn't really want to leave. You just want to sit there close to him. As we read in the Song of Solomon, she found him and she held him. She didn't want to let him go. But heaven, that future, it's coming. Will they never need to, so to speak, let him go? It will be uninterrupted communion. What it is to taste a little, but then it will be in fullness, completeness, no more sin, forever in his presence. What a blessing. No words can describe it. No words. No words can describe it. As Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, none man can describe it. What a great blessing. What a comfort. A comfort in life and in death and a comfort for eternity. Do you see what there is? What there is through a triune God for absolute unworthy wretches? Don't seek to be filled with the things of the world. Seek it in God. Seek it in God through His Son. Beg for the application of the Holy Spirit. There's so abundance in Him for wretches. Don't be a fool. He says, why do you seek and labor for bread that perishes? He's the bread of life. Seek it all in Him. And church of God, sheep of the good shepherd, don't let your heart wander to the world. I preach to myself. Don't look to be filled again with foolish things of this earth, but long and look and live as a pilgrim to look for that future, to be with Him, to be made like Him, and to experience uninterrupted communion forever with Him. My dear friend, are you still dead in sins and trespasses? Did you hear a little something? I think you heard it. But I hope it's applied to your heart, that you become absolutely a missing person, that you go home feeling so poor, that there's such great blessings, but you have none of it. None of it. And yet, I must say today, it is available. It's available. The door of grace is still open. Beg Him. Bow your knees. Become a lost sinner at His feet. And look unto Him. Cry unto Him. Have mercy upon me. And that grace thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto me. Break this heart. Renew this heart. Draw my affections unto thee. And that you may have no rest until you may rest on that rock. Till you may rest in the tent, so to speak. That you may rest in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And church of God, what unspeakable blessings. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We only deserve the opposite, eternal wrath, eternal condemnation. But it all flows through Him who came to be that object of wrath, who gave His body to be broken, who gave His blood to be shed, who poured it out willingly as that Lamb of God who opened not His mouth. He could have called unto His Father, deliver me. And He would have sent a legion of angels and He would deliver. But no, His mouth was closed. Why? Because He willingly went that way. Because He knew that was the will of His Father. But He had something else. We read about joy. He looked to the joy that was coming. What was the joy? What was the joy for Him? That there, through the cross, through His death, that God the Father's, that God the eternal God, redemptive plan would be completely fulfilled through His blood, through His sacrifice. And so He went, denying self, looking to that reward upon His death, that there was a bride that He could present later, as we read in the Word of God, unto His Father. Now the question is, are you one of them? Are you one of them? How will you spend eternity? How will you spend eternity? Answer it for yourself. How do you need to answer it today? How will you spend eternity? Forever lost? Or will you be one of those blessed ones? A blessed people that belong unto a triune God that in Him is a blessed comfort. As we read in Psalm 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Blessed people that will see that no more, that will enjoy that for eternity because of Him, because of His blood, because of His grace. All the glory to Him, and they may be recipients because of His love. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we have tried to say a little something of that future of Thy blessed church, of Thy bride. Oh, wilt Thou apply it? Oh, may there be hearts that look and long. May there be those like Moses that forsake the world, that look for that recompense of the reward to come. Oh, wilt Thou stir up the hearts of thy dear people. May we become pilgrims. May we be made more like pilgrims and more living, looking, longing for that second coming of thee to be delivered, to be entering into thy eternal presence. Remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee, prick them in the heart, renew them, open their eyes to see who they are, to see who thou art, and reveal unto them in thy mercy and grace of that only way of salvation. Lord, remember us as a congregation in this week of preparation. May we ask thee that thou would provide a word to bring to the congregation to say, thus saith the Lord on Wednesday. Lord, guide and lead by thy Spirit. Give much prayer and look upon us in mercy. May we take thy word with us. May we not allow the birds to pluck it away, but that we may meditate upon it, that it may bring us upon our knees. And Lord, we acknowledge thee for this day, for thy precious word, and for thy help. Without thee, we can do nothing. Cleanse and wash us of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 28. Psalter 28, all five stanzas. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord my guide. Psalter 28, all five stanzas. Thank you. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.